Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the WifeAbility.com morning show with your host, Adrian E. Bell. Listen, today is going to be exciting. This is part two of our discussion about soul ties, and I am excited about what's going to take place today. Listen, so last week was so crazy that everybody was like, oh, my God, we need to come back for part two. And I said, wow, okay, let's do it. And so one of my friends, he posted, shout out to Pastor Jonathan, here I go, Pastor Douglas Butler, who said, he talked about how women can be very aggressive. And you know what? I think sometimes when we think about soul ties, we think only from a woman being a victim, being the victim. But today we're going to talk about how some of our men, have some soul ties too. And so I'm so excited about today's show. So before we move forward, let's invite God into our conversation and then we'll move forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you so much for just being so good and so kind and so gracious toward us. Thank you for your divine protection. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for just being so good and so gracious to us, God. I thank you for this call, the show today. I thank you for our speaker today. I thank you that he will move forward with power, with authority, and with conviction. I thank you, Father, for my co-hosts. I thank you for their families, their husbands in particular. I even thank you for my own husband, Father, who gives me the authority, the permission, the leeway to do the things that you have called me to do. And I thank you so much. And I thank you for blessing all of those that are represented on this show today, oh God. I thank you even for this network that you've given us this opportunity to spread your word and to spread how good you are and to tell every man, boy and girl, how awesome and great that you are. And so we invite you into this conversation. Say whatever it is that you want to say. And we thank you that every word that's spoken, that it will hit full's eye into the lives of the people of God. And so we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. So listen, my co-host today, Denise J. and Denise O., we had an awesome time last week, and I'm excited that they're on with me this morning. I have Denise O. Good morning, Denise O.
Good morning.
Good morning, Denise J. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? So what I want to recap really quickly, ladies, I want to make sure that you all, Denise O., if you could just talk about, I know last week when we opened up our conversation, you had one perspective about what soul ties were. And so based on what we all learned last week and compared to maybe some of the things you've encountered during the week, what's your new perspective on soul ties?
Well, last week was an awesome, awesome call. It was very informative. My new perspective is watching what I say, what I do, and what I idle. And just in everything that soul ties can be connected in so many ways that if you're not being intentional in your thinking and or living, you can be connecting to situations, experiences that can ultimately tear you down in the spirit and the physical and in the mental. So my new perspective is just being very intentional on my thoughts and things that I do and things that I say and people and places and experiences that I may be connecting to on a negative level. And one of the things was we were talking about TV and relationships and conversations. So I have been really watching what I watch on TV, really being more intentional with my conversations, making sure that I'm not falling in the trap of gossip or just talking just to be talking, or even looking at some of my relationships that I have with my family and friends and making sure that I'm not the person that's being a soul tie and connecting people to my negative experiences. So it has been very enlightening for me because I like to talk and, you know, I like to tell a good story. So I'm just making sure that I'm being careful in the things that I do. And it's funny that you said Pastor Butler said about aggressive women. I wouldn't think that I'm aggressive, but I am when I get my mind made up or something I want to do or I have a thought or if I believe in something, I'm driving that all the way home. I'm not stopping. You can ride with me. And, you know, I allow people to tell me how they feel or what their thoughts are. But when I believe something, I hold on to that. And I'm like a pit bull with a towel. I don't let go. I don't let go.
Don't
go.
Be a pit bull, honey.
Okay.
You know, it's not cute. You can be a chihuahua or, you know, a poodle or something. But don't be no pit bull, honey. That ain't cute.
No, it ain't cute. But I'm telling you, when I believe in something and I have my facts, I'm very factual. You have to come with facts for me. I don't do the,
you
know,
what?
I heard this,
but
I heard that.
To me because
it is?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I look stuff up. I will find out. You tell me one thing, and if I believe it or I don't believe it, I look it up. I deal with just facts. I don't deal with extra. Give me the facts. Give me the black and white, the real, the deal. So last week, Carl just got me thinking a lot, just overall in my life and some of my experiences that I may have created, not just in my marriage but in my friendships and at work. And at work, so.
Yeah.
It was an awesome time last week. Thank you for
here's
teaching
the thing,
me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And here's the thing, though. Based on what you said about being a pit bull and, you know, but that is a mentality that's in today's society that women are told to be aggressive and that men like aggressive women. And I know Chad and I will get into that in a second. But mm-hmm. it's true that women have, me, Adrian, too, we have this persona about we have to be a certain way. You want what you want, you know, you go after it, you get it, you don't stop until you get it. But some women don't know how to cut that off when it's time to be in an incubation period when God is trying to prepare you for your mate. We forget that doesn't spill over into when it comes to relationships. You know, people say, you got to be aggressive, you got to get out there, well, what does get out there mean? You know, for some people, get out there is go with a mini skirt and a breast all out and, you know, at church, you know. So, but I'm glad you said that. So let's make sure that Chad and I will make sure that we get into that from a man's perspective because being aggressive, men feel like to chase a woman, and some of us have become so aggressive in our careers, and it's unfortunate that we've even had to be that way because some men don't want to work, they don't want to do what they're supposed to do, so we kind of had to take on a persona of a man to be aggressive. So we'll get into that in a minute, and we're going to make sure we're nice to Chad, we're not going to beat him up, we're all on the same team, and Denise J., what was your perspective from last week's show to this week, and have you encountered any differences or maybe even seen anything in your life that you're like, wow, that might be a soul tie?
Actually, yes, I have. For me, the conversation last week just kind of opened my eyes on what I do, not just from day to day, but from the minute in the day. You know, being in a corporate environment, making sure I don't fall into the traps of the key catchwords in corporate environment, and you know, just my daily activities, being around, you know, being around people, watching what I say, like Denise said, and I like to use not aggressive, but zeal. But zeal. I mean, when I have a zeal for something, and I know what I know, and my no knows what I know, then I'm sticking to that regardless.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the aggressiveness, I think that comes from the stance that as black women have had to take in the family, and taken on multiple roles, so that when we do get into a position where our mate is here, we have to dial back a whole lot of aggressiveness and dial back a whole lot of zeal so that we don't come off as being rude and disrespectful or just, you know, just overpowering of a man. It's just the role that we've had to take on. But the soul tie thing is just it's kind of deep, because what I've been thinking about all week is how it can connect in so different many areas, TV, even driving home, even in the market. You know, if you just come obsessed with, I just got to be the first in line, I got to get in 10 items or less, I just got to get in front of this person that's got one thing and not let this person go because they should have been here. You know, it's a compulsive disorder. It's compulsive. And so I've been really trying to, again, dial back what I think, what I do, and even as far as what I watch on TV. I mean, it got to the point where I just had to watch this particular show every Monday night. I just had to. And I just became, I became obsessed with it. I'm just going to put it out there. I became obsessed with it that I would even set my alarm to wake up to watch the show.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Do I set my alarm to wake up, to get up and pray? Do I set my alarm to get up and wake up to watch somebody, an evangelist on TV that can give me a word to help my life? So, you know, I just had to really check myself and really watch myself, even down to what I eat. You know, I can be so compulsive and not eat this and not eat this and not eat this. Really? Yeah, I'm going to eat healthy, but do I have to be compulsive about it? Soul ties is deep, and the only way to really get rid of a soul tie is through prayer, through being spiritual, connected with God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to really hone in on things in your life that's taking your time away from the Lord. If you are so connected to something or somebody that's taking that time away from the Lord, that's a soul tie. And I'm married, I'm married. I love my husband. I adore him. But he is not my soul mate, ladies. My soulmate is Christ.
That's good.
My husband cannot save me. He can only protect me so much. But I don't go to my husband to save my soul. He is my soul mate. Jesus Christ is my soul mate. And the Bible says, I believe in James chapter 4, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people are resisting the devil, but they're not submitting to God. You have to submit to God first. So in submitting to God, you know, he will lead us, he will direct us through his Holy Spirit. He'll tell us what to watch on TV. He'll tell us where to go. He'll tell us who to hang out with. He'll tell us who to break friendship with. Because if you got a friend that's putting you in positions and where you should go somewhere where you shouldn't go, or making you feel guilty, that's a soul tie.
Wow.
The only person that should make you feel guilty is the Holy Spirit, and he convicts you and reproves you of your wrong. So we must, and I've learned, I must be careful with who I communicate with and what I say when I'm around people, what I watch on TV, and what I do every single day of my life, because I do not want to get in a position where I'm being a soul tie or someone's attaching themselves to me, because I got enough to deal with. I don't want no excess of the spirits.
I know that's right. I got time
for that. Attaching themselves to me. So praise God for that. And I have to confess, I know some of you may think, like, who is this woman? I don't know if you guys know this artist called Yanni. He's a instrumentalist. He plays.
Yes, the dude with the long black hair. Yes.
Okay. I had a picture of him. I had three pictures of him on my desk at work.
Wait a minute. Ooh, tell nobody that. Oh God. I thought you were going to say I saw him on TV. Oh God.
Absolutely. I got off the call last week. I'm like, okay, you got to come down.
Now that's the good one for the oh my God, that's for the archives. Now it is forever embedded in history that you are the only person in the history of mankind that had a thing for Yanni. That's crazy. I need y'all to go and Google Yanni, Y-A-N-N-I. Please go and Google this person, and then I want you to go on my Facebook page and I want you to clown Denise Jordan for that. Holy shit.
And yes, you spelled it right, Adrian. So, Tez, I broke it. It's gone. He in the trash. He's gone.
Okay. All right. That's good. And for those who missed last week's show, what we're talking about is a lot of people have soul ties with celebrities. So you married, but you got Morris Chestnut on your phone, Beyonce. You got to watch her before you go to sleep or before you sleep with your wife. Right? So that's how you know you have an unhealthy, or Beyonce, some of these women who have some deep down lesbian issues, hello, who has to watch Beyonce so she could be with her husband. Now, I know that's deep, but I'm telling y'all some of the things that I've encountered with people who have a lot of issues with soul ties and how it's not a game. So ladies, thank you so much for sharing that. And here's the thing. One of the things about soul ties that we talked about last week, just to recap, is that it's not just sexually transmitted. A soul tie does not have to be sexually transmitted. It can be, like we talked about, through music. It can be transmitted. One of the ladies testified last week that she had to listen to a particular song before she could even drive her car. Not before she could, you know, she could not drive until she listened to this particular song. And so we don't understand. We're trying to figure out, you know, why our emotions are all over the place and we can't focus and we don't have things. We're trying to figure out, why can't I do this? I want to write my book, but I can't think about this. I want to, you know, write a song. I want to be an artist, but I can't figure this out. And you have your mind in so many different places. So just to recap, the soul is made up of five areas: the mind, the will, the imagination, the emotions, and the intellect. The mind, the will, imagination, emotion, and intellect. But people think the soul is something that it's not, but it's a composite of those five different areas. So you can be connected to someone in the mind. You can be connected with somebody where they, you know, they engage your mind. So I'm not going to go through those, but listen to last week's show so that you can understand how your soul can be tied in so many different areas, but it is not sexually transmitted all the time. The sexual transmission of soul ties is the hardest to break, because not only have you only sinned in your body, but you've connected your mind, your will to have sex with this person, your mind to engage with this person sexually, your imagination, you got to either been thinking about them, or some people watch porn or whatever the case may be, so your imagination is being engaged. Your intellect, you got to have, you know, a little bit of smart to, like, get it up. Hello, you got to engage some level of your intellect to be with this person. And then your emotions, you know, that's how people reach their climax, because their emotions and their physical has been engaged. Emotion does not always mean love. It's just that emotion of being caught up in where you are. So today's speaker, we actually have a soul tie, amen, but it's a healthy one, because we talked about soul ties last week and how they're not all negative, and that you can have a positive connection with someone. And so I thank God for my brother, my friend. We've seen a lot as far as just how you can have a platonic relationship, ladies, with somebody that has no interest in sleeping with you. And I definitely don't have no interest in sleeping with him. Yes, I did throw shade, Chad, so don't say nothing. Don't get on here and clown. But we have a very healthy relationship. We really do work diligently. My husband, he's our brother. He's our friend. You know, be careful of a person that only wants to be your friend. They don't want to be friends with your spouse, but they only want to be your friend. But Chad makes an intentional effort to be friends with my husband, and I really, really appreciate that. And so I want you all to welcome the prophet, Chad E. Brown. I wasn't going to say your whole name, but I'm just going to say the prophet Chad Brown. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chad.
Thank you so much for having me. I have been enjoying being the only man on the call, it seems. I'm loving the dialogue, and I'm glad that you all invited me on to give my 10 cents.
No, it's going to be more than 10 cents. It's going to be more than 10 cents. What I appreciate about your ministry, listen, I need you all to go to his Facebook page, like his Facebook page, follow him on Twitter. He has a wonderful evangelical ministry where he preaches the gospel every Monday night. He has a Miracle Monday call. It's called Miracle Mondays, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern. I want you to make sure you go and get connected with Chad, because I know that my life has been blessed. And he actually, what I'm doing now, and he probably doesn't even remember this, but what I'm doing now, he actually prophesied this into my life maybe about almost maybe 5 years ago, and just some different things that he prophesied into my life. So I want to thank you publicly, Chad, for allowing God to use you. And one of the things about I want to make sure that we understand about relationships is that you don't have to talk to a person every day in order to have a healthy relationship with them. And so I'm thankful that Chad and I, we don't talk every day, so he's able to actually speak a prophetic word, because we talked about how people would say, girl, the Lord showed me. It's like, no, he didn't show you, because we were just together last week. So, no, he didn't show you that. I told you that. Right? But I thank God for Chad, because he and I, we don't talk every day, but we are always connected. We pick up right where we left off, and he always says something. Either I say something, he's like, oh, I'm going to write that, and I'm like, you better give me credit. Or he says something, and it always blesses me. So, Chad, I thank you for just being a good friend and for loving my family.
Absolutely.
And for just being who you are. So, talking about soul ties, one of the things that when we were talking about how women can be aggressive and how, you know, a woman can actually talk herself out of being in a relationship with a man, but what has been your experience with soul ties, and what have you seen over the course of your life?
How long is this live talk show?
Well, you know, I purposefully scheduled the show for 90 minutes, so you can take your time. So we're good. So you go ahead and let God use you.
Oh, well, in that case, listen, once upon a time, I have experienced such a diversity of soul ties in my life. I guess one could say that I was sort of fortunate, because I grew up in a prominent family in New Orleans, and my father was the pastor of a major church there. And so, and then with me being musical, being able to sing and play the drums and play the keyboard and, you know, lead praise and worship and do all these things. And I've been good looking all my life, too. I know it's hard to believe, but that I can remember, God has blessed me.
Oh, God.
And so there was so much that was so easily accessible, just because of the platform that I was on, you know, that I had exposure to. And you know, there was a time in my life where I definitely took advantage of my advantage. I took advantage of the fact that, you know, I am that guy who has all of these different talents, and you know what I mean, and, you know, has the dad who has the big church or what have you. And so there was a season in my life where I exploited that, because, it's so much going on in my head right now. I exploited that because I knew that church women in particular were very gullible. I knew that church women in particular were very gullible, and, you know, I knew that there were a lot of women who would do anything just to say that I have a guy that's in church, or I have a guy that's in ministry, or what have you. And there was a season in my life where I exploited that, and so, of course, thus causing me to have different soul ties with different people. But you know what I've discovered over my life, while one of the don't your co-hosts, they both have the same first name, right? one of the Denises were talking, I don't know which one, while they were sharing this morning, the thought came to mind, and I've preached on this before. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I have a saying that what you're desperate for controls you.
Mm.
What you're desperate for controls you. And so, you know, I was that guy. I didn't realize it until, you know, later on in my life, because we all have different experiences. My mother died when I was 11 years old. My father remarried less than a year and a half later to a woman who I didn't really have a relationship with. I knew her, but, you know, we didn't have a close relationship, so we never really did forge a mother-son relationship. So essentially I grew up without a mother, and I didn't realize how much of an impact that had on my life as it related to, you know, how I treated women. And so what I was desperate for was someone to sort of be that nurturer and show me affection.
Mm.
And for me, affection also meant sex. Affection meant sex. Mm. Affection meant, you know, intimacy. For me, because I didn't have anyone, I mean, you know, I have aunts and people around me that love me, but no one that could give me that motherly love and affection. You know how mothers are. You know, you let your kids just come and just sit in your lap, and you hug them and hold them and kiss them and put them to bed and all this other kind of stuff. And so from the time I was 9 to the time I was 11, my mom was very sick with breast cancer. And so I was desperate for that, and because I was desperate for it, I sought it in the wrong ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't just seek it from one person. I sought it from, you know, multiple people, because one person could not fill the shoes of my mother. So it took multiple women to at least cause me to get to a point where I was satisfied. And so that just carried on into my life, and it carried on. And the mistake that I made, and for those of you who are single, I don't want you to make this mistake. This is a grave mistake that I made. I made the mistake of thinking that, you know, getting married would cause me to have that round-the-clock 24/7 affection and love and attention that I needed. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made, was getting married for that mm-hmm. reason.
Wow.
Because I was married to a woman, I'm divorced now, I was married to a woman who, get this, who never told me no. I was married to a woman, most guys, most of my friends back then was like, Doc, you are so blessed, because they knew I had the kind of relationship with my ex-wife. She never told me no. She never denied me. I had as much sex as I wanted. But guess what? It still was not enough. Why wasn't it enough? Because I had never gone to deal with the root issue.
Wow.
I had never gone to deal with the root issue. I had never gotten rid of the other soul ties that I had with other people, right? Because what people have to understand about getting rid of soul ties, and y'all forgive me if it seems like I'm all over the place, but
no,
I'm sure that's
good.
Something that
you're
I'm saying that's going to help somebody. But what people need to understand about getting rid of, because so soul tie is demonic. When it's attached to an ungodly source, when it's an ungodly soul tie, it is it is influenced by demonic spirits, right? And so, what I did not do, and I want you all to really understand, this is important, and this is a key step to your deliverance as it relates to being free from soul ties, and that it's not enough to just repent of your sins, you have to actually literally denounce the soul tie in your life.
Right.
Right? It's kind of like when I take people through through deliverance as it relates to forgiveness, it's not enough to just get on your knees and just say, Lord, I forgive everybody that hurt me. That's easy to do. What's hard to do is to say, Lord, I forgive such and such person for doing X, Y, Z to me. Because now you have to literally acknowledge the person and the offense, right?
Yeah.
And that's how you get to a place of true deliverance. So even when it comes to a soul tie, when you start talking about how to be free from soul ties, it's important that we understand the power of denouncing the demonic strongholds in our lives. And I just got married without denouncing anything. You know, I did my, you know, whole, you know, what mostly y'all have done it. Don't act like you ain't never done it. Just, you know, Lord, give me for all my sins.
Right.
You know, that total, you know what I call it, agent? It's like repenting just in case I die in my sleep. just in case, just so I can make sure I go to heaven, Lord, I'm sorry. But
right.
When you're talking about walking in true deliverance and living in freedom, you know, I can now say that I'm free. I can be in the presence of any of my ex-girlfriends and say, girl, how you doing? Give them a genuine friend hug. Don't think nothing about it. Don't rise to the occasion. Don't go home hoping that they call me later or none of that kind of stuff, because I actually allowed myself to go through the process of being delivered from those ungodly soul ties. And so, So that's important. What you're desperate for controls you. And in a book that I'm writing, and then I'll hush just in case one of the hosts have anything that they want to chime in on, but in a book that I'm writing entitled What Gear Are You In, I deal with those controlling spirits. And one of the things that I say in that is God wants to be in control of your life. But we must give him permission to have that control. He wants to control our thoughts. He wants to influence our decisions. And he wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways, right?
Right.
And so one of the questions that I ask is, are you allowing God to have complete control over your life? Are you allowing God to have control over your thoughts? You know, the Bible talks about casting out imagination. Those ungodly thoughts, because those we have to deal with, and in church settings we don't deal with this, you know, often, but we have to deal with the whys, right?
Mm.
In church we deal with the whats. We deal with, you know, with the what's bothering you, what has you bound, but we don't deal with the whys, and we don't deal with the how to get, you know, free from it, but. You
right.
have to be willing to deal with the whys. It's kind of like what you said, Adrian, about the girl who said she had to listen to this song every morning before she started her car or something like that. You got to ask
right.
yourself, why do I have to do this?
Right.
What is so enticing about this song? What is the connection in this thing that causes me to have it, right? Because it goes back to what I said. What you're desperate for controls you. You know, you have to have it. What is the thing that you have to have? You can't function without it. You got to have it. And if you
wow.
can answer that question, then you can discover soul ties that you didn't even know you had.
Right.
If you can answer that question, you can discover soul ties you never even knew you had. What am I desperate for? What is that thing that on a daily basis I have to have it, on a weekly basis? I mean, and if I don't have it, well, I tell you what, all hell breaks loose, or I'm just not right, or I'm sad or whatever. And you got to go back and we have to deal with those issues, those things that control us, or those people that control us. Who is the person, you know, that's not a spouse or a child, a close family member? Who is that person that I just have to talk to?
Wow.
I just have to talk to him or her. I have to. My day just don't go right if I don't talk to him. Not in a relationship with him, right? No commitment. Maybe you slept together or something and they moved on, but you still haven't because of the soul tie. And so we got to go back and we have to deal with the whys. Why am I behaving this way? Why are my desires for this particular person or thing so strong? And if you can't face the whys, if you can't go back and research that in your life, then it's going to be a long road to freedom for you. I had to go back and deal with the whys, and I discovered why. I discovered why I started, you know, kind of doing things basically the way I wanted to do it. You know, growing up for me, Adrian told me I can be as candid as I want to be. You know, my father traveled a whole lot. Now, my mom is deceased. I got the stepmom that at 13 years old I don't like, right?
Oh, God.
My father's traveling all over the country, and so he's not home. So there are no consequences for none of my actions. You know, my stepmom, she can't, you know, back then, she can't spank me. You know what I mean? She can't reprimand
me. You said back then,
me.
And she could spank you now?
No, she can't spank. She wouldn't even try it now. But, but you know, the point is, I had no, there were no consequences for my actions. So I was literally doing whatever I wanted to do and getting away with it. And I didn't realize that I had to go all the way back to then. I had to go back to how I had a father who was, watch this, who was present in my life but not active in my life.
Wow.
Right? He was present. His presence was there, but not active because he was always so busy doing ministry. So I basically had to just sort of fend for myself and just figure things out. And it came through a series of trial and error. I mean, a series of trial and error, seasons with an S of trial and error. But now I can walk in freedom because I was able to take some time out and research why I turned out to be the way that I am or was in certain areas of my life.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So that's sort of my introduction.
No, that was amazing. That was amazing, amazing introduction, because one of the things that you said that that I think people kind of over-spiritualize, this is something we talked about last week, is that we've over-spiritualized soul ties. So people just don't deal with it. So even though it's a demonic spiritual matter, we have to kind of unpack it. And so you're helping the listeners unpack it by asking the question, why? Why can't I go to sleep before I talk to this person? Why do I, you know, why are people masturbating? Because, you know, they're like, well, I can't sleep with this person. I'll get their picture and I'll use that to have pleasure. So we don't understand how deep this thing goes. So I want you to expound on the whole church girl being desperate thing, because here's the thing that really gets me about church girls. And I, being a preacher's kid as well, you know, I tried hard not to be one of those church girls, the ones that, you know, even though people tried to give me that label, nobody can be like, oh, I slept with her. Absolutely not. Because it was my father, thank God, rest his soul, he did a good job of validating me. And a lot of women, like, you needed that nurturing from your mother. Women need that validation from their father. So if the father has dropped the ball, or my mother doesn't even know who my daddy is, then I go looking for that love from some man. And so, but what I'm understanding, Chad, is a lot of men, they know this about the woman, and they'll still sleep with them. Like, the woman, she'll go and be like, you know, I got daddy issues, da-da-da-da, whatever. He'll be like, oh, yeah, boy, I'll be your daddy. Wait a minute, hold on. But we'll call these men daddy, thinking that that's a way of filling that void. So, Chad, can you talk about not just church girls, but just women in general having daddy issues, how you were able to exploit that, and give women tips on how not to be exploited? How do you know, you know, you think a guy with a suit and that can preach and sing and play, you know, you're trying to figure out, you know, oh, I think he's the one, that's my husband, and you know, maybe Chad can be on the wall and be like, no, he's not the one. So what tips can you give the ladies to be aware of men, and then not only the women, but then the guys? What can you tell them not to do? Because we spend a lot of time talking to the women about what they need to do, but let's start with the guys first. What can you tell these men? Stop playing with these girls' heads and all that. When did you get to that point, and how can you help the men? Let's start there.
You know,
I don't know.
Men,
so don't
especially,
talking about, I know.
Men, men especially. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Men, I believe. I hope I don't get in trouble with anybody by saying this.
Nope, you're good.
But I believe that it's a part of our nature and our makeup. And I want to say this, that I believe that men are sort of predators, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And one thing about, predators, I'm fascinated with, like, Animal Planet and Discovery Channel, and I love to just watch what happens in the animal kingdom, because you'd be surprised how much of a similarity it is between the way lions hunt, right, and the way men hunt, and it's such a correlation between the two. But you know, one of the things I was talking about the way lions hunt. If you ever notice that lions, when they're hunting, they always go after the one that seems to be the weakest or the slowest, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They always go after the one that seems to be sort of lagging behind. They never go after the fastest, you know, or more, because they like a good chase, but they ain't trying to chase you down forever because they're hungry. They want to eat, right? And so they go after the one that, I like to say this, is separated from their covering. They like to go after the one that's maybe crippled or the one that just seems like, you know, they would be the easiest to catch. And so, you know, we all have, I guess here's the unfortunate part about it. We all, if you're a believer, if you're saved, then you have the ability to discern, right? But not just to discern that which is good, but we have the ability to discern that which is not good. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So we have the ability to discern that which is not good, and I have been able to, I mean, from the time I was a teenager, I've been able to sort of just observe women, and I could just sort of tell who are the ones that would not be too hard to influence or who are the ones that would be easy to manipulate. Here's a word that I want to give you all. I don't know if y'all dealt with this last week or not, but here's a word that you need to remember when it comes to soul ties. Here's your word of the week. Y'all ready? Your word
ready.
Of the week is seduction. Seduction. We always talk about, you know, somebody having a Jezebel spirit, but the reality is most people don't know what that is. You know, it sounds
Thank
good,
you.
And I mean, but they don't really know what that is. But the Jezebel spirit is a seducing spirit.
Yes.
Right? It's a seducing spirit. And it's the bait of Jezebel that can also create, that can create soul ties. Right? So when Jezebel releases the spirit of seduction, a spiritual force is released against your mind, your imagination, and your emotions. So it's like a bait. So what happens is the way that men are able to get these women, Adrian, is that we start baiting them.
Yeah.
We start baiting them, right? And we'll start off, we'll maybe with just a small compliment to see if she laughs
yeah.
or smiles or pays one back. You know, it's
yeah.
the small things that you have to watch out for, because I've never been just in your face, yo, what's up, boo, you going to let me hit that? That's never been me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know some guys, I mean, I've been told some stories about guys who will just straight up tell women, look, this is what I want to do, bam, what's up with you? And it's amazing that they are totally offended. Here's the thing. I have the same agenda, but I have a different way of going about getting it.
That's good. That's good.
Does that make sense? I have the same agenda,
Absolutely.
But I have a different way of going about trying to get it. And so, and it start off with a, you know what? My God, if I've never seen anybody more beautiful than you in my life. Oh, that's so sweet. You know, and it just starts off with that casual conversation. So you have to be careful of people, of guys, since you want me to talk about the guys, you have to be careful of guys who are just overly, what is the word, complimentary?
Complimentary.
Just overly complimentary, overly you know, just, I mean, just seducing you, just telling, I mean, all these words of flattery. And you have to be able, people of God, to discern. If you have the Holy Ghost, then have the ability to discern. That's what I want y'all to really understand. And what you need to pray about, some of you, I don't know who this is for, but some of you, you need to get on your knees this evening. Some of you don't have time to wait. You need to get on your knees and pray and say, God, help me to be able to discern. Allow the gift of discernment to be increased in my life so that I can know the motives and the intentions of other people, so that I can know when the spirit of manipulation is at work, because that's a strong spirit. As a matter of fact, as it relates to church women, that has been the strongest spirit to cause what we, you know, consider church girls, those who grew up in church and what have you. I think that's one of the strongest spirits that, you know, church leaders in general use against members, and that, you know, preachers have used against women or those who are in positions of power in churches that we've used, and that is manipulation. That is making people feel like there are consequences if they don't do what we said.
That's right.
Like, nah, player, I'm not going to hell if I don't make it to your church anniversary. You're not going to try to put a spirit. You have to try to release a spirit of guilt and condemnation in my life. Always remember this. This is good stuff right here. Always remember this, that the devil condemns, the Holy Spirit convicts.
That's right.
The devil condemns, the Holy Spirit convicts. And so if there's no conviction, right, from the Holy Spirit about the decisions that you're making, then, you know, then okay, fine. But the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Ghost, will just convict you. I'm telling you, people, you have the ability to discern. Don't be so anxious to get married that you just end up settling for somebody who says you were beautiful. So let me help you. All of you all on the phone, you are absolutely beautiful. I mean, you are gorgeous. You are God's most greatest creator. Now you heard it. All right, there you go.
You
heard it here first from the prophet himself. You are beautiful. You are fine. Can y'all say sexy on this call? You are sexy. You are all of that and the bag of chips, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that so often women can just be, because men are moved by what we see. Women are moved by what they hear. I get it. But maybe you ought to tell yourself, maybe you ought to compliment yourself more so that when somebody else says it, you don't act like it's just, you don't act like, you know, oh, my God, Jesus is in my knight in shining armor.
Right.
If you take a closer look, you'll discover his armor ain't that shiny.
Wait, Chad, hold up, Chad, before you move forward. Denise, you wanted to chime in on one thing he said?
I'm enjoying the conversation. It's so, so awesome. When you were talking about how men are like predators, what came up in my spirit is predators can sense fear and insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And before I got married, I got to a point where, you know what, the discernment came in. When a man came to me, I was like, you know what, in my spirit, you ain't no good. You ain't not getting no time from me. So if you allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and to lead you, the Holy Spirit would tell you when someone comes to you with some shade or with a line that sounds just so good, you won't fall for the okie dokie, if you will. And I think what we need to do is, like Chad say, tell yourself you're beautiful. Tell yourself you're loved. I'm a good thing, because God said I'm a good thing according to his word. I know who I am. But if you don't know who you are, then you will fall for anything that comes to you that says, hello, good morning. So when you said that men are predators, they smell fear. A dog can smell fear.
A dog can smell fear.
And if you got a man that's coming to you with a line that just seems just so, all of a sudden just make you melt, that's a dog. Because a real
literally
man is going to step to you. A real man is going to step to you with words of adoration and encouragement that are from the Lord and their sweet-smelling savior flavor in his nostrils. He's not going to come to you with something, where'd you get that line from? Really? You think right. so? You think so? Well, you should have to tell a man you think so. You should already know so.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't have to wait for a man to tell, give you a compliment. You have to do it yourself first. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, do it yourself. And another thing, I've been, like, trying to take notes and writing stuff, and stuff has been coming to me. Adrian taught me how to write stuff down, you all, so let's praise God for her. A few ways that soul ties can be created while we're talking about this, I want y'all to get this. Of course, we know the common one, which is sexual relationship, right? Emotional manipulation, shared life experiences. Here's a good one, personal tragedies. You know, you got to be careful when people show up in your life at what would kind of seem like the right time. You
That's
know,
good.
Yeah, it might seem like the right time because you're feeling lonely, but I discovered that sometimes those are the worst times to connect with people, when you're hurting and when you're feeling lonely. That's the worst time because I'm telling you, like Denise said, you can one can easily take advantage of you in your vulnerable state. Loss of a loved one, flattery, you know, of the prideful, consoling one another. Again, you know, reaching out to the lonely. And here's one that I definitely want to touch on, financial crisis.
Oh, well.
I've met people personally who, because they were in such a bind financially, and I was able to sort of help them out. And it's funny because we ain't even talking like thousands of dollars. You know, we're talking hundreds. We ain't talking thousands of dollars. But because I was able to come to their rescue, you know, I guess maybe they sort of felt like they owed me something.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Be careful when people show up in your life. You have to be able to be aware of where you are and what season you're in, right? I'm telling you, you know, especially women who've ever had to deal with abuse or deal with being talked down to, you know, I understand why you can go from that kind of relationship to another guy, you know, who has said you're beautiful. Because the last guy you were with just told you wasn't nothing for so long that just to hear those words from somebody just sort of, you know, opened you up, but in the wrong way, right? Opened you up, but in the wrong way because, you know, some people think that they are seeking love when, in all actuality, what they really want is just attention.
That's right.
They just want attention. And so, you know, you have to recognize where you are in your life. If you are hurting, if you are in a season of feeling lonely, and trust me, I've been there, I'm telling you right now, all the men in the world, all the sex in the world, all of the flowers in the world is not by itself going to fill those voids in your life. You have to really get to a place. I hope that the people of God can really get this right here, and that is you have to get to a place of being emotionally healthy and well and stable and just happy with being who you are before you try to be happy with somebody else. Because if you don't deal with those issues, then they're going to come back up. But financial crisis is a key thing, you know. I'm sure most of you women would agree, ain't nothing like a man who can help you out financially.
No doubt.
But what's the cost of it?
Wow.
That's the question you got to ask yourself. Before you allow him to give you, you know, this $220 for your cell phone bill so it don't get cut off, before he puts it in your hand and you go and you pay it, you have to ask yourself, how much interest do I have to pay on this $220?
Mm.
What kind of interest do I have to pay? You know, what is he requiring in return? Even if he hadn't said it verbally, that's why you got to have the Spirit of God and the ability to discern people's motives and intentions. Why is he helping me out? Why is he, I just met him 2 weeks ago. Why is he already willing to pay my light bill?
Mm.
see, when that's you it. Need it, you don't ask yourself those questions. You're just like, oh, God, I thank you for my miracle. You said the right person. But then you end up paying a high price for it.
My God.
Right? So, you know, you got to listen. Sometimes you just got to let that phone get cut off, baby.
And
you just figure it out some kind of way. Put in some overtime, you know, call your auntie or something like that. But you got to be careful who you allow to help you, because there's some people who, and I'm telling you, and again, the spirit of manipulation and guilt, they'll make you feel guilty. Because what they'll say to you, I've been there, done that, they'll say, when you needed me, I was there for you.
That's good, Chad.
And now I need you, you know, I'm horny, I need you to do something for me, and you don't act funny. But when you was crying because you couldn't pay your rent, all your money spent, telephone disconnected and waiting on your next paycheck, and I came in to your rescue, and I was there for you, and now you won't return. And so then that spirit of guilt comes on you, and you're like, well, yeah, you know what, you were there for me. So, I mean, I guess it's only fair. So you mean to tell me that your stuff is only worth $220?
My God.
I'm sorry, can I say that on this call? I apologize.
Yes, you can, honey. You already know how I get down, boo. This show is rated PG-13. Amen.
All right. Anybody want to chime in? Anybody? Any takers? Anybody?
Denise, go ahead.
No, that's Denise. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adrian. You can finish.
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say Denise J has another call. So go ahead.
Well, see, and I agree with you, Prophet Brown. That was fabulous. But as you were talking, could that also be the relationship between a daughter and father getting money from your dad when it gets tough or gets tight? When you don't, you know, for instance, for the cell phone, we can go there. You know, knowing that you're short on your cell phone bill and your husband don't have it and you don't have it, or you mismanage your money, could that relationship also be a soul tie between a mother and daughter, or a father and mother? You know, getting money from your relatives or from your dad, knowing that your dad will show up when your husband can't show up.
Wow, that's good.
Well,
wow.
I am a father. I do have a daughter who I intend on taking care of until she gets married. And, you know, I guess that's a tough one, actually, because I think that kind of situation, it's not the same in every instance. But one thing that I would encourage wives to do, because, listen, understand this, men are men. I don't care if it's your daddy, if it's your uncle, you know, men are men, and we all have that, you know, that ability to sort of get jealous or what have you. And so one thing that I would do is make sure that your husband is okay with you receiving help from your father. And the reason why that matters is because your husband can easily become, feel, you know, inferior, or, you know what I'm saying, or feel less than, because at the end of the day, your father is still a man. He is still a man. And in our minds, the way we're processing it is that, you know, there's another man taking care of my girl, and it could make us feel a sort of way because we weren't able to do it, but another man was able to do it. And I know you're going to say, but he's my daddy, and he should be able to take, but that's why the Bible says that, you know, that you cleave to one another. You know what I mean? The man and the woman, that you should cleave to each other, and you literally become that man. I mean, like, you belong to that man, to this man, your husband. You belong to him, and so whenever he's not able to do something, whenever it comes to having another man to do something for you, my advice would be to, before you even ask him for it, to talk to your husband and say, baby, you know, we have such and such and such and such. I believe that if I ask my dad for it, you know, he'll look out for us. Are you okay with that? And let him say, oh, yeah, that's fine, because we definitely need it. But to just go and just be like, Oh, don't worry about it, baby. My daddy took care of it. What? What?
I know that's right. That's so good, Chad. Oh, wow.
Because it goes, you know, it's almost like in the man's mind, I can imagine the man is saying to himself, like, hold on, I'm your daddy. Right?
But that's real.
Real talk. Like, I'm your daddy. I'm the one who's been assigned to take care of you now. I'm the one who's been assigned, you know, to protect you now and to, I mean, that's like somebody being, you being married, Adrian, you married to Donald, and another guy disrespects you, and instead of you talking about, I'm gonna tell my husband, he gonna kick your tail, you still talking about, I'm gonna tell my daddy. What? You know, and so, and in a sense, it also almost says, you know, to the man, I want y'all to get this, because, you know, this is a real situation, and it happens. It also says to the man that I trust my father more to take care of me, though I'm married to you. I still trust my dad more than I trust you to make sure that, you know, certain needs in my life are met.
Wow, that's so good. Wow. And
that's why a lot of women aren't married anymore.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people get divorced, because the daddy is still the man in that woman's life, and he's doing everything but sleep with her. So the husband, all he's doing is just sleeping with her, but the daddy, he's paying the bills, he's giving the man the job properly, depending on who you're dealing with, you know, and
right.
then the husband, the only assignment he has is to sleep with her. And so your daddy is – so some of us, we have to even be careful with that whole daddy's girl thing, because while we say, oh, I want to marry a man like my daddy, okay, that's honorable, and I get that, and you know, I understand that, but there's a line you got to draw, because your husband is not your daddy. Even if you called him daddy last night, he ain't your daddy. So you gotta make sure, ladies, that you know that you have that healthy boundary. Set up healthy boundaries, and sometimes you have to tell your daddy, "Daddy, I love you, but I need you to be seated because my husband, he's the one." See, we only want to do that though when daddy doesn't agree with something. Then we want to get our husbands involved, and I don't know why those kids are taking us this way. But you know, we only want to get daddy involved when the husband is not doing his job. And so we use, ladies, that spirit of manipulation and guilt on our husbands because a real man wants to take care of his wife and his children, right? So if he's looked at a certain way by your father, then he's going to feel the pressure to do the things, even if he doesn't agree. And that's what causes a lot of resentment. That's why couples don't last in a lot of ways, because women, they literally have their fathers in the bed with them and their husbands, and they're sleeping with their husbands but talking to their daddy. They're having pillow talk with daddy, carrying out the act with their husbands. I know that sounds really perverted, but the spirit of perversion don't care if it's your daddy, don't care if it's your, because some of us have a spirit of perversion that has been suppressed, and we don't even understand, wow, I'm trying to figure out, I'm calling my husband daddy, and I had to stop doing that. I'm not even going to lie. I used to call my husband daddy. I thought it was cute. It ain't cute. It's really not, because the atmosphere, I don't like to say the word atmosphere, but so that you'll know what I'm saying, the universe, the atmosphere does not know that that's not your daddy. They just, the atmosphere just knows that's what you called him. So what you do is you give him a certain level of your soul that gets released to that quote-unquote daddy. So then what happens is you're trying to figure out why your husband is acting like your daddy. You called him daddy. So we're saying things out of our mouths, and we don't understand when the scripture talks about death and life and the power of the tongue, that's not like a game. That's not like only when you're trying to, you know, when we're talking about crazy stuff. That's crazy. So we have to really think about what we're saying when we're calling our husband daddy, and then but get mad when he's acting like daddy, and you're like, well, you've given him that honor. And so, and then you hear, and your father hears you call your husband daddy. So like Chad said, the spirit of jealousy in his mind is like, wait a minute, I'm daddy. You know, so then he starts doing little things he starts doing little things to compete with your husband. So, ladies, don't be guilty of creating a spirit of competition between your husband and your father, or your husband and your son, or your husband and your uncle. You have to be careful, because we as women, that's where that whole Jezebel spirit can be released, and we can seduce. You don't have to seduce with sex. You can seduce with guilt. You can seduce with, like,
yeah,
I was there for you, so you should be there for me. So, wow, Chad, go ahead. That was just, I just have to piggyback on that.
That was absolutely incredible. I'm sitting here trying to figure out why I'm at a special guest when you got so much to say. No, I'm teasing.
Whatever. Wow, really? Really? Okay, I got you.
So I want to address something real quick. While you were talking, I was skimming through Facebook, because I have all of these notifications from Wifeability. And one of the posts that you put up, you quoted me in saying you got to deal with your issues before you marry. And I don't know if this person is on the call, so I won't call their name. But someone did comment, and I've read it, and I thought that this is something that we need to talk about. She says, but what if you didn't know it was an issue until after you got married? Out of sight, out of mind, then it showed up, and you realized it was still something there, but you really do love your husband and want him, but it's something about that other person that just stays on your mind even when you don't want to think about him. Wow.
That's good.
That's powerful. And, you know, I think that here's what I say. We can't stop the devil from planting seeds in our mind, but we don't have to water the seeds of the planet.
Good.
If you don't water the seed, it will die. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You don't have to water the seed, you know. The other thing is, you have to make sure, because this is part of, now this is another part of being delivered from soul ties. We remember I mentioned earlier about denouncing. The other thing that you have to do is get rid of anything that still resembles a connection to that person.
Right.
Does that make sense? So if they gave you a bracelet, then you can get that bracelet and somebody else will throw it away.
Right.
If you got pictures in your old photo album, you can take them pictures and burn them. If there was a song that was quote unquote y'all song, then you don't need to listen to that song, right?
Wow.
And if you get rid of all the things in your life that sort of remind you of that person, oh, you know, there's at least the material things that you have that remind you of that person, then that could also help or aid in you being delivered or free from that particular soul tie, because there's definitely something there. Anytime you can be married to a man and spend time 24 hours with this man, and yet this other guy who you may not have even talked to for the last 2 years is still on your mind?
Wow.
Hasn't done anything for you, hasn't picked up the phone to call you, hasn't, but he must have some, thank you, Father.
Look, Tamar says he must have the ding-a-ling of gold. You must have the...
you know...
the ding-a-ling of gold, honey. That's what it's called.
Yeah, so you need to... I'm not even going to elaborate on that, Adrian. I'm not going to do it. I refuse
no,
to
sir.
Do it.
I'm not going there.
But you know... Again, you have to ask yourself, you have to go back, this is for this, you know, young lady and whoever else may have that question, you have to go back and ask yourself, why? Why? What, here's a good question. What is it that this person did that my husband is not doing?
Well,
because I personally, you know, I don't know if you all will agree, but I personally think that it is okay to, you know, don't you ever mention that other person's name, but I think that it's okay to say, you know, baby, I would like it You know, let's just say that the other person sent you flowers on the regular, and you love flowers. I think it's okay to have a conversation with your husband and say, you know what, baby, I really love flowers, and, you know, it would be so awesome, you know, if you could give me some sometime, right? Don't ever talk about, you know, the last man I was going to always gave me flowers. You done messed up right there. You don't bring up the other person in this relationship, but apparently that person did something. He did something that your spouse is not doing, right? And one thing that I'm not afraid of when it comes to relationships, I'm not afraid to ask for what I want, right? Some people are, you know, even in marriage, some people, Asian something, I can be real, some people are against oral sex, right? And that's fine. I think it's
Wifeability endorses oral sex, just so everybody's aware. In marriage.
All right.
In marriage,
absolutely.
Wifeability, just want to make sure everybody's aware.
Here's the thing. I endorse it as well. Amen. My power investing in me.
When you're married, amen. Praise God.
Right, but you know, I've been married, so I endorse it as well. And so, you know, when I am married again, there has to be that understanding, right? That, hey, listen, this is what I like. Because if I, you know, for me to get married again, and then I discover after marriage that that woman is like, you know, I ain't doing that. We're going to have some serious problems. You better not fall asleep with your mouth open. We're going to have some serious problems. You know? So.
That's okay. She's that's fine. She will be personally trained by the best. She'll be good.
She's gonna wake up mad at me many mornings, right?
Oh, Jesus,
so the point is, it's important to, you know, there is a void that you're trying to fill. But then here's the other thing that you have to also remember. You have to understand that your husband is not that other person. You have to accept that. Your husband is not that other person. You know,
that
other person may have had good hair. Your husband might be, you know, bald-headed. Your husband, you know, he is not that guy. And so find ways to really connect. You know what's bothering me that I don't see, especially in our generation? I don't see couples really connecting. I don't see them connecting and really fellowshipping with one another. But find some mutual interest. This is still for that same person. I feel led by the Spirit of God to help this person if they can hear me. If not, then someone on the phone needs to hear this. You know, connect with your husband. Turn social media off and all that stuff, and go and sit down and watch an old movie together. Go sit down and watch Pretty Woman. You know, I got to say this, Adrian, because I feel led to say this. Sit down and watch a movie that got some romance and some loving in it, and y'all sit there and watch it together and get a revelation.
But don't start an argument.
Go in the room. Go in the room and reenact the scene that you just saw.
There you go.
You know, there are ways to really put this other guy out of your mind. And then, of course, pray and say, God, whatever issues that are still lingering, because you may not be able to pinpoint it. But again, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Give you the ability to go back and he'll just take you to a place where you remember what happened that was so significant in your life that caused this person to have a lasting impression and impact on you. And then you say, okay, God, now I need you to turn my affection completely toward my husband or my wife. I need you to turn my affection completely toward them. I don't need to be trying to sit up and think about this other person just so that I can have an orgasm. Excuse me.
No, stop saying excuse
Turn my affection toward my husband. Allow my body, this is the man that you gave me, allow my body to be able to physically connect and respond to him in a way that would be pleasing to him. right? Bring my mind mm-hmm. completely in to this space right here. And any thought mm-hmm. that casts itself against, right, casting out imaginations, any thought that comes into my mind that's contrary to, you know, to the word, and that is threatening to my marriage, help me to cast those thoughts out.
That's right.
Right? And guard my mind. And so, but the way you do that, man, start talking to your husband again, and not just about issues. We ain't talking about sitting down and having a doggone counseling session every day. But sit down and talk and laugh again and reminisce. If you went to high school together, you know, talk about the good old days and bring some stuff back up and talk about, baby, you know what I miss? Remember when we used to go and walk down by the water and blah, 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 blah. You remember that time you did it? Oh, boy, that was so funny. Then next thing you know, that you are filling your mind with the kind of thoughts that you want to think. You have more control than you could ever imagine. You know, Bible
right.
says, whatsoever things, hallelujah, are
yeah.
lovely, are
yeah.
pure, are of good report, right? If
mm-hmm.
there be any virtue,
mm-hmm.
any praise, you think on these things. That
yeah.
lets me know that I have the ability to shift my thoughts. I have the ability to shift my thoughts and to think on things that are pure, that are lovely, that are honest. I have the ability to shift my thoughts.
That's right.
The devil does not have control over your mind.
Huh.
Hallelujah. You have control over
mm-hmm.
your mind. And so you force yourself to think on these things. And because that helps the person. I don't know if somebody called them and let them know what I said.
No, they're getting it. They're getting it. Oh, my God, Chad, the notifications are crazy. Like, I could barely type because I have so many notifications, and I have a couple of questions from our audience.
Okay.
We are doing a 90-minute special on the WifeAbility.com morning show, so I want to thank everyone for listening in. It's a wonderful topic. Thank you so much, Chad, for sharing and being transparent. The scriptures that he was referencing was Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, talking about finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You have to push those thoughts out of your mind actively. And like you said, you can't do anything about the enemy planting the seed, but you don't have to water the seed. That was incredible. One of the comments that someone made was that when she's angry with her husband, she has dreams about her ex. And so it's not a game, because the enemy, that's what he does. That's why it's so important for us to be on the offense, and that's why I'm trying to raise an army of women to be on the offense in their relationships and stop waiting until the devil's beating our heads in with drama, but be on the offense and be a watchman and be able to look out, not just married women, but single women as well, or unmarried women, that you see from afar the craziness that's happening or that's coming your way. So the question was, the comment was, that she would have dreams about her ex when she was mad at her husband. And many wives are guilty. Adrian Bell is guilty. I'm not going to front. And Donald Bell knows that I try to be very, very transparent with him, because to me, that's how you, when the enemy is exposed, he has no power. And that's what a lot of us do, and the church does a horrible job of helping people become free, because we keep everything a secret. Everything's a secret. It's quiet. You keep everything. You can only hide a pregnancy for so long. I mean, you know, it's like, let's talk about it. How did we get here? Why did this happen, like Chad talked about? One of the other questions was, Chad, to you, was what is the difference between a soul tie and generational curses?
A soul tie is something that you create. A generational curse is something that you were born into that may not necessarily have anything to do with you, but you still, I believe that after a certain age, because all of us don't grow up with spiritual parents who have that discernment and the ability to, you know, find the devil and sort of break those those generational curses. And so at some point, you know, it still becomes your responsibility to make sure that not only that you pray against generational curses, but that you don't put yourself in harm's way. In other words, you know, because some generational curses can be spirits, they can be sicknesses, right? So mm-hmm. when you hear people say something like such and such runs in my family, like for me, on the brown side of my family, diabetes runs in my family. Once I became aware that that was a sickness that was connected to my family, I had to say to myself, okay, so that means, Chad, you have to watch what you eat so that mm-hmm. you don't victimize yourself, so that you don't make yourself, you know, susceptible to this particular illness and disease. And so, but a soul tie is something that you create through your own actions. A generational curse is something that you are born into that you don't necessarily have any control over what your predecessors did, but you do have the ability to make different decisions so that that curse does not take hold, you know, in your life, take root, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, in your life. You have to go back and curse the very root of the thing and declare that it should, and you got to do more, let me just say this, and you have to do more than just declare, right? I thank God for declarations, but you got to do more than just declare. I have to do more than just say, diabetes ain't going to come for me and my children. Okay, that's great, but what are you going to do about it? Right? I have to ensure that it does not manifest in my life and then my kids' life, and I can only do what I can do. And so, but that's the basic difference between the two.
Awesome. 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 Chad, I mean, there's really no questions. There shouldn't be any questions because you have done an incredible job of covering a lot of information in such a short period of time. But I do want to give you space to, before we end the call, I want to make sure that you speak a word over the women that they would be free in the areas where they're tied up. And then especially for the men, that we don't want to forget about the men, that these women, some women can be very, very aggressive, and they attach themselves to the guys as well. And so what is your, if you could just go ahead and speak over that, and then we'll let you go ahead and pray. And then we can spill over into overtime if we have to. The call will, even though the show will technically be over, if there's anyone with questions at the quote-unquote, what I call the after party, if you have any questions for Chad that you maybe don't want to be on the air, that's fine. Or you can still ask the question to me, and then I'll post it for you. But, Chad, I want to make sure that it is that you do have an opportunity to minister how God has led you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as far as the women who are overly aggressive or too aggressive or what have you, you know, one word I don't want women to be afraid of, I don't want you all to resent this word, and that word is submission. I don't want you to resent this word. I know people have taken it and have abused it and have used it to make women feel less than or feel like they're servants, you know, to their husbands or what have you, but I really want you to pray and say, God, you know, help me to be submissive. Help me to deny my flesh, to deny, you know, help me to control my tongue and not just say whatever it is that comes to my mouth. Help me to not try to be the husband when I have a husband. You know, you have a lot of that, you know, and then other men who are real men like myself, we look at your husband and call them hente because, you know, they have this wife that's just sort of a, you know, a sort of loose cannon or just, you know, aggressive, and we can't tell who's the husband and who's not. I mean, you look like the wife, but you act like the man. You know, and that's not a good look for your family front as a whole. You are not the leader in your family.
Wow.
You are not the head of your house. And women who have an issue with that don't need to be married. Women who have an issue with understanding roles and women who have an issue with embracing roles, listen, yes, times are changing. Yes, we are a different generation. Yes, our culture has changed. But let me tell you something. The word of God has not changed. The word of, I don't care what kind of bills are passed in Washington, D.C. I don't care what kind of new laws are implemented in your local city and state. I don't care what kind of freedom our society gives us. The word of God still stands, and it has not been changed, neither has it been altered. And so what the word says is what our lives should exemplify. Right?
Right.
The word says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, all of you are smart women, so I know that you understand what that means. That means the same way you would submit to God is how you need to submit to your husband. My God. And in order to do that, that means that you have to sort of put aside some of your aggressions. Here's the other thing. For women who are single that's on the call and you know you have that aggressive nature, then that means that you have to find somebody who's more aggressive than you.
Oh, God.
See, don't, if you know that you're a strong nature, like again, Adrian Bell, she has a strong personality. You know, she is, in her family, she is the personality. I know her and her husband well. She is the, you know, she's the outspoken one. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what else I know at the end of the day, and she'll agree with this. I don't think she's going to try to front, that at the end of the day, Donna Bell is running that household. At the end of the day, she knows when to back down, back off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He may not be, you know, he may not be aggressive in the sense of, you know, power tripping. He allows her to be who she is, but she respects his role in the relationship. And that's what it's all about. So not being aggressive does not mean that you got to go sit down in the corner and shut up. But what it means is that you have to respect your husband's authority in the relationship. That's what it's about. It's about respecting his authority in the relationship, right? It's about you all having a mutual understanding and agreement. And watch this. Let me help some of y'all out. You know how the easiest way to figure where you are right now? When your husband get home from work today, sit down and talk to him, and not in no serious way, but sit down and just say, Dave, you know what? We were on the call, and we were talking about aggressive women who are too aggressive or whatever, and I was just laughing, and I thought to myself, I wonder if my husband thinks I'm overly aggressive. Do you think I'm too aggressive in some areas, baby? And don't approach him in an argumentative way, and if he says yes, accept it.
That's right.
You know, that, ain't not like a woman asking a man a question, you know, and then he answering it honest, and then we get penalized for, you know, our honesty. You know, you think I'm overly aggressive? Well, I think you can be sometimes. Well, what do you mean? What have I done that make you think, I'm, you know, no, you can't do that. Baby, how do you feel about it? Do you think I'm overly aggressive? Do you think that I need to kind of tone it down sometimes? Talk to me. See, people who want to be better will ask those kind of questions.
That's good. That's good.
People who want to be better will ask those kind of questions. So, you know, again, men are different. Some men are just laid back and in the pocket. I'm not. I am the personality. You know what I'm saying? I'm that dude who is like, hold on, you're not going to talk more than me. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm that. But see, that's me, which means that, you know, Adrian and I make best friends, but we would not make a good couple.
Absolutely not. Oh, the devil is a lie. Isn't that
we
all that?
We make wait, don't be binding the devil now. But no, we make but you know, we make for great friends. When I tell you I don't think that I'll find a better friend than Adrian Bell, we make for great friends, but because of our personalities, there's absolutely no way. That will be a never-ending conversation. We'll wake up still talking about it. But I do that. What I think, you know, and so I know the kind of woman that I need in my life. I can't marry somebody who talks as much as me. Because then there would not be there won't be a moment of silence. Okay? There won't be a moment of silence. So, you know, every relationship is different. But at the end of the day, whatever you do, at the end of the day, make sure that you are not overstepping your boundaries, and make sure that you're not unknowingly or subconsciously or whatever, unintentionally stepping into your husband's role. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. He might be the quiet, sit-back type, but whatever you do, make sure that you respect his role and his authority in the relationship, and you don't try to be the husband and the wife. Be the mother and the wife. And don't try to step into his role. And I think that will definitely, you know, bring about a significant change.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Chad, we have some more questions.
Okay.
Question is, if you have breaking a soul tie with a person, if you have been trying to break a soul tie with a person, but that person has not broken the soul tie with you, how can you break it? I have a daughter, and her dad still has the soul tie with me. I believe because of the crazy things he has done, for example, acting a fool when she doesn't want to go with him, taking me to court and all the time, disrespecting my marriage, and the list goes on. I broke that soul tie 14 years ago, but he still has it. How do you move on from that?
Not your problem. Not your issue. If you have broken it, you know, here's the thing. If you have broken the soul tie, then it's been broken. The problem is he has not accepted the fact that it's been broken.
Mm.
Right? If I'm holding one end of the rope, Adrian, and you're holding the other end, and I cut my part off to where I break loose, you still just holding your end of the rope. But I'm going on about my business.
That's good.
Right? So understand and accept the fact that you have broken it, and he's just still holding on to whatever part that he can hold on to. And, you know, there's not much that you can do about that. You know, we can't, unfortunately, we cannot control other people's behavior and actions and feelings. We can't do it. There's some women who think that God said that I'm their husband. I ain't never even been involved with them.
Oh, God.
Never been involved with them, never taken them on a date, never flirted with them or anything. You know, they just got a revelation from hell. you know, and so, there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I can do about that. The only thing you can do is not entertain them. Not entertain them. Keep it strictly about your daughter. Don't try to seek answers from him as to why he hasn't let go. You know, I mean, if you've moved on, then move on. Live your life. And, you know, whatever piece he's holding on to, you know, he's going to eventually have to let go of, or he's going to die holding on to it. But you don't let that make you feel bound when you know you've been free.
That's good. That's really good.
You know, you don't let that make you feel bound when you know you've been free.
I love it. Next question, Chad. And when you have to wrap up, just let me know. But you are blessing the women and even the men, and they're in agreement with you. And nobody, obviously, the men aren't on here clowning because they already know, yeah, about time somebody stepped up and said something. And to me, it would sound kind of cheesy in a way for Donald to kind of do it. It has to be from somebody else because Donald and I are in agreement. So and I'm in agreement with whatever he says, and thank you for that compliment. And actually, it's a form of validation for me because a lot of people think that, you know, people have said to my husband, he's been hoodwinked, he's henpecked and all this stuff. No, I understand the gift that God has given my wife, and he supports that. And that's why he has favor on his life, because of the fact that he's allowed me to do what I do. So husbands, I promise you, if you release your wife, to do the things that God has called her to do and not suppress her, I promise you, you will have money than you ever thought you would have. You will have favor that you never thought you would have, because there, when the scripture talks about finding favor with the Lord, it's more than just finding a beautiful wife, or it's more than that. Your entire life, doors of opportunity will be open to you because of your relationship with your wife and how you push her to be the woman that God has called her to be. Next question is, my husband cheated on me, and I found out about it after it ended. We stayed together. It was very hard for me. He asked me to marry him again before the church, we renewed our vows. After a year later, because of iCloud, a text message sent to his phone came to my phone. Oops. I questioned him. I found out about another woman he had been dealing with since our renewal and before. I put him out. He begged to come back, and he went to therapy. It was revealed that there had been 8 women during our marriage. I was devastated. I have not been able to forgive, move past the shame, the disgust, and all of the emotions. We have children and a business, and as a woman of God, I hate that I'm going through this. It's been over a year since I found out, and I still have not gotten past it. Why me? Why does he get to hurt me, then get to keep me? Wow, that's powerful.
Whew, man, oh, man. Geez, okay. You know, this is one of those things that you just got to pause and think about your response. Sometimes I have an immediate response, but, you know, unfortunately, we don't get to choose and decide what tests and trials and temptations we have to go through in life. And unfortunately, even the most faithful, most loyal, most committed woman can deal with infidelity in relationships. I'm full-time in ministry, and when I was married, I cheated. And it got to a point where I cheated several times. Here's the thing. Sometimes it does not, and I want you women to understand this. I want you all to really, really get this, that sometimes a man cheating on you has nothing to do with you. In other words, it has nothing to do with, you know, what you have or haven't done. It has nothing to do with you not being a good wife or a good mother. It has everything to do with unresolved issues in his life. And, you know, unfortunately, you can only know what a person reveals to you about themselves, right? You can't, you know, I mean, maybe through the Holy Spirit, you may be able to discern some things, but you won't know all things. And so, I was sharing with a friend of mine. I don't know if this would apply to this person's husband, but I shared with her. I said, you know what? What it sounds like to me is that your husband has an addiction. And I asked her a question. Adrian. I said, if your husband had a drug addiction, would you stay with him and work with him through it if he was willing to get help? She said, yes. I said, would you help him get into a program? She said, yes. I said, if your husband had an alcohol addiction, would you help him, you know, go to, AA meetings and, you know, counseling and whatever else, because you love him enough to help him? I said, yes. I said, it sounds like to me, her situation was more severe. It was more than 8 women. So it sounds like to me, because I know her and I know her husband, and I know her husband loves her. I know her husband loves his family. He's always with his children, always celebrating his wife. He ain't one of those husbands who have a Facebook account that don't say that he's married. I mean, he's got all kind of pictures posted up. They're always communicating through it. I know that he loves his wife, and I recognize that he has an addiction. I said, so if you would stay with him through all of these other addictions, and this is not giving men a license to just pass and cheat. This is not telling women that, you know, I don't want all y'all to get off the phone thinking, he just slept with one woman, You know, some men are just trifling. Let me just say that, just so we understand. Some men are trifling, and, you know, and they, is this called being recorded for quality assurance? You know, and
well,
some men just like,
to talk.
Some men just like new booty.
That's right. True.
Some men just like new booty, period. They want to keep the one that they have, but they like new booty. They like new experiences, you know. Or sometimes, you know, unfortunately, let me say this. I know I might be all over the place, but this is something that I really want to say, and it's probably going to help somebody. You know why, Adrian? I might have shared this with you just in our own regular conversations. But you know one of the reasons that made cheating so interesting to me is because what we consider the quote unquote the other woman, her presentation was so awesome, right? Her, because sometimes when you get married, you can really just get stuck in a routine of, okay, let me bathe the kids, let me put them to bed, let me make sure the kitchen is clean or whatever, and then you go and finally take a shower, and you know you got to be up at 6 in the morning to start your day all over again, and so you just kind of, you know, get in the bed and just lay there. You know, there's very little romance. There are no more candles. I mean, for those of you who will be honest with me, I know that there are many of you who can agree. For those of you who maybe slept with your spouse before you got married, I think that a lot of us would agree that in many cases, the sex is so much better before you get married. I don't know what it is about it, but it's adventurous. It's spontaneous. It's, you know, effort is put forth. Does that make sense to anybody? You know,
absolutely.
So I would go to the quote-unquote other woman's house, man, listen, open up the door. She got candles all over the place and, you know, and music playing and a nice negligee. And, you know, and I got to leave that, and I just have to be frank and go home to a wife who's sleeping in a, you know, a dingy T-shirt and some gym shorts.
Right. That's real.
Men,
that's real.
Men are moved by what they see. Now, here's my thing. You know, if you are a woman who says, well, you know, I do all that on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, because my thing is when it comes to relationships and making the work and even the sexual part or whatever, you know, I want to make sure that my wife can say there is nothing that another man can do for me that my man ain't doing himself.
That's right.
I want to make sure that she can say that. And I'm telling you, the other woman, boy, listen, there's some freaky stuff that the other woman does that oftentimes the wife don't have time to do or don't want to do or no longer interested. You know, and when you start having kids, I want to tell you all this because I have 6 kids myself. I can speak on so many different levels right now.
Wait, don't say that. Wait a minute. Don't try to say that fast. How many children do you have?
I've 6.
Oh, okay.
I've 6.
Well, he was like, yeah,
I've 6 kids.
Amen. And he is an excellent father, everybody.
Let me be very clear so y'all understand. Let me be very clear so you understand my range of experience. I have 6 kids between 3 women. I had 1 before I got married. I had 4 during my marriage. And I had 1 as my marriage was ending. All right? So I have experience. You know? I know what it's like to have a quote unquote baby mama. You know, I know what it's like to be a baby daddy. I've experienced it from so many different angles, which is why I feel like, you know, I have a little qualification to speak on such issues or what have you. But so let me just say that, you know, men are moved by what we see, and it's important, woman, that you do whatever is necessary to make him happy. And if he just continues on, you know, cheating, man, this is a whole nother conversation, Adrian, if you'll invite me back sometime over the next year to just deal with cheating, because there's so much that I want to say about that. There's so much that I want to say about that. I've had hoes in different area codes, okay? No, seriously, I've been that dude.
All right,
I've traveled for a living. So I know what it's like to get off a plane. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it this way. I thank God that I only have 6 children. I'm glad for my 6 because it could easily be 13. I'm so glad. I pray to God that in the next 10 years, some child's going to walk up to me talking about, hey, Daddy, I don't know you, little boy. Get out of my face. I don't know you. I do not know you. You live in New Jersey. I don't know you.
That is hilarious.
So we thank God. We thank God for his grace and his mercy. But so to that woman who had that question, I'm sorry this answer is so long, but to that woman who had that question, you know, I know that it hurts. I know that the pain is real. I am not one who ever tells anybody that they need to get a divorce. I will never tell that to anybody. And I will never demand that somebody stays in an abusive situation, right? But what I will say is that if you really love him, I don't want you to feel bad for forgiving him. I don't want you to feel bad. Forgiveness is always in order. Forgiveness is always in order. I won't say that again. Forgiveness is always in order. You don't ever have to feel bad because, you know, I forgave him, you know, 3 times. What Jesus said about it? When he was asked, how many times should you forgive a person? 7 times? No, 70 times 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're never in the wrong to forgive, and you should never feel stupid because you forgave him, right? It's the Bible. The Bible says that, you know, unfortunately it gives us one reason for leaving. It gives us one reason for leaving our spouse, and that is because of infidelity. But keep reading. It says, it also encourages us, but stay unmarried because God may bring about restoration.
Amen.
Y'all didn't hear that. Y'all didn't hear. See, people don't want to hear that truth. That's the word. The word does give us the license, if you will, to leave our spouse because of infidelity. Am I right or am I wrong? Go back and read the Corinthians. It gives us the ability or the authority or what have you to leave our spouse if they cheat on us. But if you continue to read what Paul says, he says, but remain unmarried because, and I'm paraphrasing, remain unmarried because God may bring about restoration and bring the two of you back together. And it also says that the woman who's anointed, know her call and her purpose, has the ability to sanctify her husband through sex if he's unsaved. And that's the other thing. If your husband, if this man that we're talking about don't have a relationship with Christ, is not in his word, is not in church, or what have you, then he has deeper issues anyway. He needs the word. If he's not, like, going to church and committed and in church, then what I would challenge you to do, if you want your relationship to last and you want to try to work through it and move forward in it, if he's not in church, you need to get him. Listen, let me tell you something. One minute. You know what y'all need to learn how to start doing, and then I'm done, Adrian, if y'all can hear me? Y'all need to learn how to make your demand. The greatest position that a woman can be in is when a man messes up. I know I'm going to lose my man. I'm sorry, fellas. I got to say this. But the greatest greatest position a woman can be in is when a man cheats and he knows that he's wrong, because trust me, he don't want to lose you. He don't want to walk away. That's your moment to make your demands. That's your moment right there to step up to the plate and declare what shall be.
Wow.
It's more than just, okay, I forgive you. You're not going to do it no more. Nah, hold up, Cliff. First of all, before we ain't just about to fly past this. So now let's talk. Now let's talk, since you decided that you wanted to break vows and go outside of this thing. You want to stay? You want to stay in this house? You want to continue to have all of this? You want me to continue to be submissive? Let me tell you what I'm going to submit to. Because I'm not submitting to this spirit that you have right here. I'm not submitting to that. So let me tell you what shall be. And if you can't comply, if you're with a man and he ain't really in church and he out there bad wilding out, let me tell you something. If you're going to stay in this house, you will be at church on Sunday with me. You will be at Bible study. I'm sitting, man, listen. Make your demand.
That's good.
Make your demand. I'm gonna tell you that word is powerful. That word. Anybody know what that word is? Y'all need to get a revelation. That word.
Yes, we know the word. The power.
Word right there.
Yes.
That's a very powerful tool that when it has been taken advantage of, you can use to your advantage.
That's good.
So
now there's a difference though, Chad. Let's make sure we're clear that there's a difference between advantage and manipulation. Because because we'll tell the women, we'll advise her, you know, when you're the one that's been offended, when you are the one that has been offended, you have the authority to set the parameters of restoration. So if them, like he said, if you got to go to church with me every Sunday, then that's what you got to do. So, you know, brothers can be like, well, you know, you're not about to run me. Okay, look, you want me. You cheated on me. So these are the demands. But see, what happens is, Chad, these women will punk out and be like, but I don't want to lose them. And that, no, if he is the one who cheated, now, I get you on the demand thing, but Chad, well, we got to make sure we keep that balance is because women will say they forgive, and a lot of reasons why men cheat, some men cheat, is because their wives ain't giving up no sex. So they can try to front and act like, well, you know, I'm not talking to the wife who's turning it up in the bedroom. She got the candle. She's doing her thing. I'm not talking about her because Chad put those men in the trifling category. Some men just like new booty. That's just the way it just is what it is. But I'm talking about that dude you have not done your part. You know you have not done your part, and he goes out and cheats. That Chad is not talking to you. He's not talking to you because you got to make sure, your husband cheated, but your husband has a demand to place on you too. So if the demand is, sweetie, I need to have oral sex at least 3 times a week, you're going to have to come between, well, how about 1.5, maybe I hold it once a week or something, and then do the other. You know, come up with a negotiation plan. Have a plan. But
no, I got a plan. Let me just pause you. I got a plan.
Here we go.
The plan is, no, I'm serious. Here's the thing. The plan is do it 3 times a week.
Absolutely, I agree. Do it 3 times.
That's important. I know, but see, that's the thing. Because let me tell you something. As a man who's been married, there is a huge difference between 3 or more times a week and what Adrian said, 1 time a week, and I hold it for 5 minutes. No. You know,
you got to start somewhere. You know, if these women have gotten out of the habit of sleeping with their husbands and then he goes out and cheats with somebody else, she has to, first of all, get over the guilt and the shame that he's actually slept with somebody else and she hasn't done her part. So that's what I'm saying. You've got to kind of build the chick back up in that area. Again, I'm not saying he was right for doing what he did, but a lot of women put all of the blame on the husband as if she is blameless. And some of these women are guilty. They are guilty of causing their husbands to go out and sleep with other women or be emotionally attached to another woman because we are not doing our job. So I'm
going to
make sure we're clear on that because they'll be like, well, Prophet Chad said I can make my demands. No, boo, he's not talking about you because your husband been making demands for the last 10 years and you ain't been giving up no booty. He's not talking
please
to you.
Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name in your bedroom, lady.
But Chad, women will say the man of God said, and the man of God said, don't be telling
your husband
what the man of God said. Do not do that, ladies. That is straight-up manipulation. And then especially if your husband is not spiritually strong, he don't know who this man is. Because even though, let's keep it real, Chad. Let's keep it 100% real, Denise. Some men, husbands, especially if they're unchurched, they think their wives are sleeping with their pastors. A lot of the time, they think that, and they wonder, well, my husband won't go to church with me. You got to be careful who you choose as pastor, because if your husband does not trust that man, there's something about your pastor that maybe has not been revealed to you, and your husband may not be able to put his finger on it, but something is shady. And so some husbands some pastors manipulate husbands and wives all the time for their own personal gain. So we got to be careful, Chad. So I agree with you. You do get the opportunity to make your demands, but make sure you qualify to make a demand. You cannot make a demand. You cannot, if you don't qualify to make a demand, you do not have the authority nor the qualification to tell your husband what he better do when you ain't been doing your job. That's all I got to say about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
we have another question, Chad. Well, wrap that up because now
yeah,
Chad,
no, that wraps
that piece up.
I think you
I do
want to
chime in.
I
would say even for the wife that had the comment or the question, even if the man might be a strong word for you right now, know what you want, but start your restoration with you. Don't ask why. And why do I deserve this? Because I'm feeling that maybe your husband, who has been with 8 different women during the time of his marriage, like Chad said, is dealing with an addiction. So the addiction is way deeper rooted than what you're feeling at this present moment. So it's not about you and what did you do to deserve it. It sounds to me that your husband is dealing with such a deep-rooted addiction that it's way past new booty for him. It was way past new booty after the second and third woman. So even when you're making your demand, know what you want. And like Chad said, a lot of times, if 100% of the times, as a woman, we don't know what we want. We don't know who we are. So we can't even place a demand because then that demand become being manipulative towards our husband. But first, seek what you want, what you need, and where you're lacking and where you need to restore.
That's yeah, you know what
that's
else?
So good.
What else I thought about while you were just saying that is also understand that there is no reason that's going to be given to you as to why that will satisfy you. There is no reason that will be given to you as to why that will make you say, oh, okay, well, I understand why you did it. Okay, well, then it's okay. Like, you'll never be okay with the fact that that he cheated. But then the other thing is what you do need to know, and this makes a big difference because I've been, again, in both of these positions, is did he just cheat with, you know, a random chick, or was he having an affair? Because they are two completely different things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
They are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. If he was having an affair, then you have serious issues, because having an affair means that he has not just physically been with this person. He has an emotional connection to this other woman, right? And so you do need to know if it was an affair. Is this somebody that he, you know, had lunch with 3 times a week on her lunch break? Is this somebody that he was getting hotel rooms with, you know, for the weekend? Is this somebody that he was visiting often and have a relationship with her kids, like that kind of thing? That's a serious situation that needs to be dealt with in a completely different manner. But if it's just some new booty, he was out, he met a girl, he banged, and you know what I'm saying, and he moved on, the reality is you can overcome that much more easily. You know, that's an easier situation to deal with simply because, you know, he was just being a hoe.
Oh.
Yeah, well, basically, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And you can
uh-huh.
deal
wow.
with and you can deal with that. But if it was an affair, then you need to know that, because now you got to really deal with some. That means that he's got some deep, deep issues. Again, I've been in both situations. I've been in both situations where I've had long-time affairs. You know, affairs, that's people who either don't know you're married and they think that they're your girlfriend. Right?
Mm.
Or people who do know you're married, but you didn't promise them that you're going to leave your wife, and so they're looking forward to a future with you. So you need to be able to know, you know, were these just hit it and quit it? because you can overcome that. Or were these affairs? Because that's going to require you to go through a completely different process, because you will have to know that this other person is no longer an issue in your house. And I know that's deep, but that it's necessary for you and other women on the call to understand, you know, was it your girlfriend? Did she think that she was the one? You know, were you talking about I love you? You know, or was she just a chick who sent you some naked pictures and you thought she was fine and maybe you had a drink and you hit it?
That's
you need to
good.
Really be able to know, you know, where he stands with all eight women and, you know, what the relationships were like, what type of relationships they were. And once you understand the type of relationships they were, then I believe that you'll know what steps you need to take, whether it's, you know, some serious counseling and prayer and what have you, or, you know, if it's a situation that is irreconcilable.
That's good, Chad. The last question is, been married 11 years. The first 5, he cheated. Me and him now, he can't keep it up. He can't get it up. I'm so disappointed. I'm like, Lord, I waited it out, and now this is what I get. I done put oil on it and everything. Yes, you did hear that question. I know you had to let it sink in, but that's the question. And the funny thing about it, she's laughing too. So I don't want you to think I feel bad. I didn't want y'all to feel bad for laughing, but she was like, LOL. But she's serious. But she's
right.
Like, dude, really? Like, I waited, and now your joint don't work? That's not hot. So what do we do with that?
Well, I think that men won't say this often, but, you know, it's important for us to be emotionally connected as well. And so I would say to her to make sure that you guys are connecting emotionally and not just physically. Connecting emotionally, you know, really. I mean, and then also there's this thing called stiff nights that you can get at the gas station. You know.
I can't with you. I can't.
Well, seriously, you asked the question. I mean, there's, you know, there's, of course, you know, you got the Viagra and all that stuff, but they got some callbacks on that, so I don't trust that. I'm going to only tell you what I've used for my extravaganza nights, because it stays in your system for about 48 to 72 hours. It's called Stiff Nights. It's a red pill. There's a few more out there on the market that actually really work, that don't give you headaches, that don't give the guy headaches anyway. I hate that I know so much.
I can't with you, but you know what, you can help somebody.
Yeah, but, you know, try it. You can give it to your husband and say, here, you know, follow this. Follow this pill.
I know some of our listeners are like, we done turned into XM radio now.
But see, you know what? Unfortunately, this is the kind of stuff that most people, pastors, won't tell them, because we're so busy trying to get folk into heaven that we forget to teach people how to experience heaven on earth. And so, obviously, there is an issue, and you want to be satisfied, and she sounds like a woman who loves her husband and doesn't want to get it from anywhere else. So try Stiff Nights. It works. It don't give headaches. There's another one called Rhino something. It's got a picture of a rhinoceros on the front of it. You can get it at a gas station, a chaperon or something like that. And if it's a long-term issue, then they got this stuff called Extends. Now, Extends doesn't work for an immediate, like if you want something immediate, if you just want to get it on tonight, go get some Stiff Nights, right? If you want to restore the health back to that area, then works over a period of time to just kind of, you know, restore testosterone and all that kind of other stuff. And then, you know, emotionally connect with him. Emotionally connect with him. Try something new. Give him a lap dance. Wear a thong. I mean, just try something, you know. sometimes it can't just be just because you're naked and you're trying to jump on top of him that he's going to get it up. You know, try to romance him a little bit. Men like to be romanced as well, you know. We like to be teased for a very short period of time. Don't just tease me for an hour now. But, you know, so I don't know. Try something new. And, you know, and hopefully it'll work. But if not, try Stiff Nights. Stiff Nights should definitely give you a night of pleasure.
Is that what you're saying? Stiff Nights. Okay. Stiff Nights extends.
You need it to be stiff.
Oh God! And I'm gonna make sure that they give me some kind of endorsement deal. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm gonna call Viagra and I'm gonna call Extend and the Stiff Nights people and ask them to endorse Lifeability. They'd be like, the church will never let me come in their church again because they're gonna be like, this person is crazy. Listen, Chad, this has been absolutely incredible. I have so my inbox is crazy, and I wanted to make sure that the ladies that have some of the issues have been that were being addressed or needed to be addressed, the more serious issues that were being addressed. And so I do think that you exposed a lot of things. The last question was, what do you tell? And I think you kind of covered this before, but I want to make sure. What do you tell? I was asking, what do you do when your husband won't let you bury that soul tie completely by still bringing up the ex only when he's upset? After repeatedly asking him to leave the past in the past, he still brings up this particular person's name.
All right. Say that one more time.
So basically, me and my husband are talking, and he'll bring up one of his ex's name, his ex or baby's mom or whatever, and only when he's upset will he bring up her name. And so the wife keeps telling him, calm down, just leave her alone, don't keep bringing it up. And she's frustrated because nothing she says is comforting him. So she's just trying to figure out, as a woman, what does she do?
Right.
Hey.
Okay, I'm going to ask.
Hello?
Yes, I apologize.
Oh,
the maid service was knocking at the door, so I forgive me. Your husband, that's an issue of maturity.
Mm.
That's an issue of maturity. You know, he really just needs to grow up. And, you know, we all know which buttons to push. And if he's constantly doing something that he knows you don't like and you respond the same way, you know, every time, you know, I don't know. I guess I have a low tolerance for, like, stupidity. I don't like people doing,
yeah.
You know, and forgive me if I sound harsh. That's just, I'll shoot straight from the hip. I have a low tolerance for stupidity, and I would not allow that. You don't reserve the right to disrespect me because you're mad at me or because we're not agreeing.
That's good.
You don't have that right. You don't have that right to, you know, to belittle me or to purposely try to hurt my feelings because we're upset, right? And so he has some maturing that he needs to do. Now, how can he mature? I mean, that would be up to him to decide that he loves you enough to not do that. You know, here's the thing. When people really genuinely love you, they will at least try to, they will put forth a great amount of effort to not do the things that they know hurt you. When people really cherish the relationship and value the relationship, you know, that's not cool. I would not want my girl bringing up her ex in conversation because we're mad. You know,
bringing up her exes too. He's bringing up her exes too. So not only is he bringing up his own exes, and he'll be like, "Yeah, but like when you was with Reggie," like he's bringing up her stuff too.
Well, then he's a person who just hasn't. Again, it's still maturity issues, and he's a person who's obviously not over something, and he just needs to, you know, he needs to get over it. And I believe that there just comes a time and a point, Adrian, in certain conversations where you just need to get up and walk away.
Mm, that's so good, Chad.
I don't have to sit here and listen to you try to throw a guilt trip on me or remind me of my past or what I've done. That's the beauty of this whole thing is that I got two legs. I can get up and walk out. About to say about Job when the guys were talking and while they were yet speaking, while you were yet speaking, I can get up and walk right on out the door or go to my room or go into my space. You know, women and men, you don't have to just sit there and tolerate disrespect. You don't have to pay it back with disrespect, but you don't have to sit there and be spat on. Right? You don't have to do that. You don't sit there and be spat on. You get up and say, you know what? When you're done being foolish and when you're ready to have a mature conversation, then we can talk about it. In the meantime, what do you want to eat for dinner?
Wow. Wow. Chad, this was an amazing call. Denise, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm here. Yeah,
okay.
I'm here.
Before I'm going to let Chad pray. I want him to just feel this phone call, this show. It has been amazing, 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 Chad. My inbox is so crazy right now, I'm going to have to cut it off and bring you back. Everybody wants to talk about the cheating in more detail. And so I do want to ask you that if you could please put Wifeability on your schedule, let us know when you can come back because you have truly freed, God has used you to free the minds of some of the women. So, Denise, before you have to go, did you have any closing remarks for Chad because he's going to pray us out?
Wow, phenomenal, thank you. It was amazing and comical. So I had to put my phone on mute a lot of times because I'm over here cracking up laughing, so I just wanted to make sure that I was in order, so I had to put my phone on mute. But this topic has been absolutely amazing, and I just thank you for just shining light on so many other areas of soul ties, and that yes, the next topic of cheating, that's going to be a major phone call. But thank you for all that you have shared with us today and for shining the light from a man perspective, because a lot of times we can get stuck in our own woman perspective and, you know, but to hear it from a man's perspective of soul ties, and thank you for answering that question, the difference between soul ties and generational curse. But it has been very eye-opening and very informative. So I don't have any closing remarks, just outside of thank you and thanks for the words of encouragement that you have given us and given myself today.
God bless you. You're so welcome.
Absolutely, and Chad, you did kind of leave yourself open when you was like, "Oh, the maid service was at the door." So are you having an affair? Are you cheating? Like, what's what? But y'all, he already told us he was traveling because he's preaching in South Carolina. So Chad, you know, you were slaughtered in the spirit. So we didn't want to be carnal at that moment. But Doc, you did leave yourself open. You was like, "Oh, that was the maid service at the door." Really, really?
What are you doing, woman? I told you to come at 11. What are you doing?
I told you I would text you when you could come over. So
I told you not three times, and if I don't answer on the third, I'd walk away.
But seriously, Chad, I do want you to pray. I thank you so very much, and I'm so honored, and I'm so godly proud of you. I'm godly proud of just what God is doing in your life. You were featured on the Word Network the other day, and so God has just done some amazing things. I did post it on my page, so go and take a look at it. So into his ministry. If God has done anything, if God used him to say anything to you today, go to his website, ChadBrownMinistries.com, and sow a seed and leave a testimony.
.org.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. ChadBrownMinistries.org. Or check this out. My brother, who's going to help Lifeability get our own app, amen, he has his own app that you can actually download through your Google or iTunes store. download CBM Ministry app from your phone, and you can always stay connected to Chad's ministry. He is a wonderful man of God. He loves God with all his heart, and he can preach the gospel. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ uncompromisingly. Subscribe to him on YouTube. So if you can't get enough of Chad Brown, there's enough of Chad Brown spiritually that you can connect with. Amen. I'm trying to soul tie him up because he's already betrothed to a very beautiful young lady that I'm so excited to. God has allowed us to make a connection, and I hope God is going to help me to help her to be the intentional wife that she needs to be to my brother. So I'm really, really excited about that as well. So Chad, if you could just pray and just, you know, however God leads you prophetically, go ahead and do that. But again, I just want to thank you so much for coming and sharing and being transparent, because this is something that we really needed to discuss, and now it's forever in the archives and that it can be shared all around the world. So thank you again.
Wow. Thank you all again for having me, and this has been a joy. I'm glad that God allowed me to be on the East Coast to do this call, so that way I could be fully awake and energized, and I ate breakfast and everything, and so I was prepared to just fellowship with you all on this call and talk about some necessary issues. So thank you to both Denise's, and then especially to Adrian. You know I love you from the bottom of my heart, and your whole family. And so and thank you, ladies, for indulging me in this conversation. And follow me, Pastor Chad Brown. That's my name on all networks, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's all Pastor Chad Brown. And ChadBrownMinistries.org if you want to connect with me. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share with your people, God, the men and the women who are on this call who need to be inspired, who need to be motivated, who need to be encouraged, who need direction for their lives personally and even for their relationships. I thank you, Father, for this ministry tool that you've given Adrian to be able to just share with your children how we can live more effective lives, how we can have better relationships, and how we can be better individuals, how we can walk in our purpose and maximize our potential so that we can fulfill the assignment that you have given us. And so, Father, I pray for each and every person that's on this call. I thank you, God, for a spirit of forgiveness that is being released in your people's lives even now, as I pray, God, that those who are under the sound of my voice will make a decision to forgive the past and to forget those things that are behind us and move toward the things that are before us and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I thank you for that ability, that divine ability to be able to release and let go and not hold people hostage to their past mistakes and failures, Father. Thank you, God, that though men have failed us, though women have failed us, Father, we thank you that your love is unfailing. Thank you that you've never failed us. God, you have been the most consistent being in our lives, and we appreciate you, God, for always being there, being by our side, being there to comfort us and to console us. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command every soul tie to be broken in the spirit in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that for every person who will come to repentance, God, for things that they've done and who will denounce the works of the enemy in their lives, I thank you that you will set them free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed in the name of Jesus. I give you praise and glory for it now. Every generational curse, I return the curse back to the sender, and for those, God, who will not expose themselves to the curse and will not make themselves, Father, vulnerable to the curse, I pray that you would give them victory over generational curses in the name of Jesus. God, for relationships that have been broken and even destroyed, God, because of infidelity, if it be your will, if it be your will, I thank you, Father, that you would bring true restoration as only you can, that you would restore the love and the faithfulness and the commitment. Your word says, Father, that what you have joined together, let no man put asunder. And so I thank you, Father, for those relationships that have been joined together in heaven, those relationships, Father, the people that you connected to one another, even though the enemy has tried to destroy that which you have said is good, that which you have sanctioned, the enemy has tried to contaminate. But I bind the works of the devil in every marriage now in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus. And I declare, Father, that your spirit, your presence, will manifest itself in every household under the sound of my voice, in every marriage, in the name of Jesus. God, even for those women who are having trouble in certain areas of their lives, Father, I thank you, God, that you would restore energy and strength back to their husbands, Father, so that they can have the ability to connect and to consummate their marriage, Father, as you have ordained it to be so, in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, I prophetically declare victory in the lives of everybody under the sound of my voice. Victory in every area of their lives. Victory over sin. God, victory over fear in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
God, victory over anxiety and stress in the name of Jesus. Victory over worry in the name of Jesus. And I declare, Father, that as we gear up, Father, to walk in victory, that we will begin to see your handiwork in our lives. We will begin to see that you were behind the scenes all the while working it out. I think that everything that we've experienced until this point in time was all a part of your plan. Now, God, take us from the pit to the palace and take us from the prison to the promised land. In the name of Jesus, and we give you praise and glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and praise God. We love you, Chad, and Wifeability has officially, we've officially welcomed you as our official Wifeability ambassador for men. So thank you so much, and we love you, and we will talk with you soon.
Amen.